Hey, what's going on, beautiful people all around the world? My name is Donald Schuler Jr., and I'm here with my main man, Brad Zylus, and we are on Awaken Nation.
A huge shift is taking place on planet Earth. People seem to be waking up. Tired of the way things used to be, they are creating something brand new and changing the world we live in. My name is Brad Zylus, and I get to sit down with the next generation of idea makers, the disruptors, and the game changers. Everyday people, just like you and me, from all over, who are doing amazing things. Welcome to Awakened Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a fantastic treat today. This young man is moving and shaking, a hustler. You've seen him on TV. He's amazing. And he ran into a couple of my friends. They called me up and they said, "Hey, you got to get this guy on the show." So Donald Schuler, welcome to Awakened Nation, my friend.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. It's a pleasure to talk to some like-minded individuals, man. You know, I saw a few of your things, and the previous one I saw a few weeks ago was talking about just manhood and what it's like to be a man in popular culture today, which is
ain't it the truth?
Which is very interesting in itself.
We got Bodie on, Bodie Aldridge from Australia, and that was hilarious because I'm starting to get managers and agents from all over the world calling me up and going, "Hey, could you put my buddy on the show?" And I'm like, "Sure." And they're a big deal in their countries, you know? So I'm sort of like, I'm really, you know, opening up the hood and unpacking what's going on all around the world. So I feel incredibly blessed. And nice. I'm super jazzed that Lisa Gage, we have to thank Lisa.
Hey,
her
Lisa.
Husband Chris. Yeah. Well, I have known them for like 35, 40 years. I'm not going to say that out loud, but I have known them since I used to live in New York City. They're really good friends. And she was the one who said, "Hey, you really should check out what Don's doing." And thank you. Thank you for being on the show today, by the way.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Again, I try to really pick and choose who I collaborate with because, you know, we're at a deficit in society and the world at large. Yeah. Everybody wants to talk, but nobody wants to listen. I really do my absolute best to listen to understand instead of just listening to respond. So, you know, I appreciate your style and how you do things and just letting it flow, brother. You got a gift, man. You got a gift, so you got to unwrap it each and every day, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to read your bio real quick. Donald M. Schuler Jr. Donald M. Schuler Jr. is a distinguished executive success coach, drawing on a rich background from prestigious higher education programs, including the Howard University Executive MBA program and the Boston College Educational Policy and Leadership programs. You might recognize Donald because he is a familiar face on the QVC network, where he contributes as an NFL guest host. He's actively involved in numerous projects spanning TV, film, and voiceover work, showcasing his versatility across different media. And we're going to talk all about everything you do. I mean, your lineup is incredible. For 10 years, over 10 years, you've been working with brands like Google, Fanatics, Campbell's Soup, Nerf, Budweiser, Kellogg's, Icy Hot, Verizon, and the NBA. You're a mover and a shaker and a rising star, my friend. Let's dig in because I watched your TED Talk. You're also a TED Talk. And you got to check out his TED Talk. It's How to Find Your Purpose. But you were challenged. How tall are you? You're 6'2" and what?
I'm 6'4" tall. And let's just say I'm about a hamburger away from your average NFL defensive lineman.
So. Well, you had a choice to fight with, and that was between football and being in drama, being on stage, singing, dancing, all this. Let's talk about how you were forced to choose, which is hard for most people to understand, but you had to choose.
Wow, Brad, you did your homework, man. I'm impressed with that one. That's a deep one. I don't really get that off the cuff. So I would have to say, man, everything that I am, everything that I do, everything that I've become is all, and I mean all, because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, brother. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
God bless.
I mean, without him and just the big three, I like to call them Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, man. And it's like, I'm doing it on such a high level now. And I'm doing the things that I've dreamed of and I've prayed for. And sometimes I'm like, hey, God, this is a lot. But he's like, well, yo, didn't you asked for that, right? So you want me to clear your plate? No, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. So it's like just understanding who I am. And, you know, my overarching goal to empower people and change the world through education and entertainment. You know, when it came to me choosing between sports and, you know, the entertainment industry at a young age, I come from a family full of entertainers and educators. My mother and father grew up in Philadelphia, my father in North Philadelphia, and my mother in South Philadelphia. My dad went to graduate from Central High School and then went to Penn State and then went to Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary and then went to Villanova, having so many different degrees and distinguished opportunities in the medicine and pharmaceutical industry and whatnot. And my mom, her side is all singers, songwriters, dancers, musicians, directors, filmmakers. And it's like, that's where I was in the middle. And they met in church. And, you know, growing up as a pastor's kid and whatnot. And, you know, as my dad passed about 2 years ago. So trying to figure out, you know, how do I build my brand and how do I figure out who I am? And at a young age, I want to say at about 10th grade, I was playing football at Pensbury High School. And at 10th grade, I was really starting to get my who I was in terms of I want to use my voice, but also want to play some ball because I'm big and I like hitting people respectfully. And it came to a point where one of the starting offensive guards for our football team was injured. And there was a chance for me to come in like right after my freshman year and, you know, and start on varsity. And it came to the point where it was pretty awesome.
That's impressive. Yeah.
And it came to a point where we have, you know, spring workouts that are voluntary, which aren't really voluntary. And I was walking out of the locker room one day because I was doing a rehearsal for this show called Mr. Pensbury, where it was like a talent show for all the people, the seniors in the high school and, you know, those who had the most talent, you know, the whole high school thing or whatever.
Yep.
But it was what I loved to do because I was training to be on stage, training my voice, and on top of doing the morning announcements for 4 years at the high school. So getting my radio type of vibe going on, and never even realizing I would be doing voiceover work, you know, for a living type of thing. So it came to a point where I walked out the locker room and it was just me. I was coming in from practice and my coach said, hey, such and such, he's out and I want you to fill the role, but you have to choose. You have to choose. Are you going to do, you know, this hosting thing, this music thing, or are you going to be serious about ball? And I was like, well, this is the first time in my life where I feel like somebody's forcing me to do something when I don't have to choose. I can do both.
Right.
And at that point I said, you know, I'm going to do both. And he said, okay. And after that, I didn't play much at all for those last 2.5 years because he felt as though, you know, either I wasn't serious about playing ball or I just didn't have the heart for it, which was crazy because my dad also played at Penn State University and he was all about ball. And so it was just really interesting trying to figure out, well, I'm 6'3", 235, 240, 250 on a cheeseburger day in high school. And, you know, I'm that Division I, you know, status of body. And just to figure out, like, why am I not playing? Like, what is going on here?
Right.
And trying to figure out, well, aren't we going to the combines? Because that was when the combines were just starting up for scouting. And he would say the hardest workers are going to go. And here I am working super hard, skipping family vacations to make sure I'm at practice. And I don't get chosen to go. So here I am. I'm getting all these Division III offers, you know, respectfully, you know, football is great, but there's different tiers.
Right.
And I knew that I was very capable of playing at my chosen school, which I'm wearing right now. You can't really see it, but Morgan State University, which is Division I AA. Going down there and having a preferred walk-on status and then earning you know, partial scholarship with education and athletics, played 2.5 years. So nice. From going from somebody telling me I couldn't do it, then to playing at the highest level, you know, playing on TV and getting the varsity jacket, just, it was one of my biggest moments of life, because as a kid, you want to prove somebody wrong who told you you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I ended up being one of two players off of my graduating class to go play Division I football. Nobody else even played, which was crazy.
I do believe that if you believe in yourself, you'll wind up where you believe you should be. And I see a lot of people, you know, my favorite, all-time favorite quote is from Les Brown. And if you can find this, you can look it up. He comes out on stage in an arena. There's like 35,000 people there. And wow. He goes, the easiest thing I ever did. Sorry, I can't imitate him properly. But he goes, the easiest thing I ever did was make $1 million. And everybody's like sitting there like, wow, you know, and he goes, I want you to add this up. And he went through everybody's cover charge to get in, the books they bought, everything. And he goes, and it worked out to like 1.5 million. Wow. And then he goes, and then people, you know, took out their fees, blah, blah, blah. I made $1 million standing right here, right now. He goes, the hardest thing I ever had to do though, was believe I could make $1 million.
Amen to that.
And that's when the audience went, what? You know, because, and that's true. If you don't believe in yourself, and this is what I love about your story and watching your TED talk,
Thank you. Your
football coaches, they're still in that, you know, and I'm not knocking football coaches, but they're still in that two-dimensional thinking where it's like you have to choose. Do you want to be Broadway bound or do you want to be football bound? Yeah. And you had the tenacity and the love and the passion, I believe, to say, you know, I can do both. And you did excel at both. You were talking a little bit about, you know, you were singing on stage and dancing and people were like, what? How do you do all that? How'd that feel at the time? Because I had friends in high school, and this is a shout out to Dave Zierfoss and all these guys I went to high school with who were in football, and the band would be about to go on field and they're running out of the locker room trying to put their, you know, their band uniform on.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
took
yeah.
their football uniform off.
Yeah.
And they start playing and then they go back to the locker room. A shout out to all of those who balance those two worlds, by the way. But Donald, what was that like? I mean, you obviously had to up your game, you know, your energy. You had to get to bed early and just push through sometimes. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, which blows my mind, one of I'm really leery about using the title, you know, role model or inspiration, but
you may not like that.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
He is, I mean, the brothers for real.
Yeah.
And how there is now something in college football called the NIL, name, image, and likeness. These
really?
Students are getting paid in high school and all throughout college because of their skills on the field and who they are off the field. So I'm looking back at I'm like, yo, I was clearly 10 years too early, because if I was able to play ball in high school and do the acting and the music at the same time, like, I could have made a whole bunch of money. And here's my coach telling me 10 years ago, you can't do both. And now here people are doing both, making millions of dollars at 18.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just like, you know what? You know, God has certain things happen for certain reasons and certain seasons. So, you know, that's made me stronger and who I am today.
Well, now you know how a boomer feels, because we're like, I'm a baby boomer. This is hilarious. You and I have a hell of a lot in common. Sorry to say it that way, but I did morning announcements at my high school as well. I was in drumline. My father was a doctor of chiropractic medicine, and my mom sang and played piano, and my dad met her at one of her gigs. You know, she had come into Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Shout out to Lebanon. She was playing at a place called Pushnik's, and my mom got gig, you know, she got signed a contract for like 2 weeks, and everybody would come see her. My dad saw her and he just fell in love. And so, you know, in high school, actually starting in elementary school, my dad was our roadie. I played drums and my mom would play piano and sing, and we'd play the old standards. I mean, they're old standards today.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
so
that.
I was, I could relate to the Partridge Family, but not the Brady Bunch. It made no sense to me. Why would you want 8 kids? And whereas my best friend across the street, Dieter Hauer, he had 4 sisters and 3 other brothers. So they had 8 wow. kids in that household. He loved the Brady Bunch. I was like, you're crazy.
Oh my goodness.
But it was what you can relate to. So you yeah. may not think you're a role model, my friend, but I'm telling you, someone out there right now is looking at you and going, you know, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to do it. So,
man, hey, I appreciate that, man. I think, first of all, God is good. You know,
God is good.
It ain't on me. I think to answer your question, the first time I was able to do like host a show in high school, I was hosting the show, but then I was a part of the show. So I hosted my first show my junior year, then my senior year, I was a part of it. And I had the opportunity to sing and stuff like that. And that was one of my most, I would say, humiliating moments, because then you have like your classmates and they're watching you and you're putting everything into your performance and you're getting like boos and like, you suck. It's
just like, they have to, they're your friends. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy because, like, you know, for me, I wear my heart on a sleeve when it comes to my content, my artistry, my music.
Yeah.
And at a young age, I was trying to really formulate, am I going to do the whole sex, money, and drugs thing like everybody else? Or am I going to stand on something?
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time, and it didn't really go too well, but the real moment that changed my life from going from the football field to the stage, literally, was in 2013, where I did my first regional theater play, The Color Purple.
And nice.
Going from, you know, tackling, knocking people out, playing ball, then to this beautiful fine arts building and dancing and singing, and my father coming in my opening night in front of close to 4,000 people saying, boy, I saw you. You was out there moving. You was doing it. I didn't know you could even do that.
Your dad was proud.
I'm telling you, man. It's that one of my funny.
Well, we're most... both Pennsylvania boys. So, you know, you grew up a certain way in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and that small town upbringing, your dad's not going to mince words. He's like, I think I love you, son. You know, you're like, oh, I know you no. do, Dad.
For real. He's going to go in North Philly style. Boy, I see you.
I know.
I loved it, man.
My dad used to drive me to Vets Stadium to watch the Phillies play. We used to.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I remember one day we left the stadium. We have a 2-hour drive back to Lebanon. And yeah. my dad wouldn't buy me anything in the stadium for some reason. And he did. I mean, he bought me a Coke and a hot dog. But we're driving back and he buys pretzels from this street vendor. And when we get them in the car, they're hot and they're fresh and it's chilly out. And I'm just like, this is delicious. He goes, see, I told you, you know, that's it. That older wisdom, you know, it's like, you get a better deal from the cart, you know.
You get a better deal. You do.
Was your dad like that?
Oh, my goodness, man. The better deal, the best deal, the only deal. To the point where my little sister, she'll go to these venues, you know, these concerts, and she'll say, I got to support small businesses. Because they got the best price and it looks even better. And I'm like, yo, you're right. Yeah. So my little sister haggling down, yo, let me get the 2 for $20. How about 2 for $10? How about, all right, 15? It's awesome.
That is funny. Well, I'm sure you miss your dad. And, you know, it's for me, I lost my dad in 2012. So God bless you. I understand it. Do you find yourself at times where something really exciting happens and you reach for the phone to call him and you realize, that catches me sometimes, even today, even though it's been 12 years, but does that happen to you sometimes?
Well, again, man, I appreciate the question. I do. That means a lot. I do. I miss him every single day. I'm named after him. I'm Donald Shuler Jr. And my firstborn son, who just celebrated his first birthday yesterday.
God bless. God bless. That's awesome.
He is Donald Morris Shuler III. So just seeing the different down the line and seeing the things that, you know, I wish you would be here for. But, you know, I've learned, I served my dad. I served my dad well. There are no moments in my life where I can look back and say I disrespected or I dishonored. And he was like a king to me. And he raised me to be a king. He raised me to be a Psalms 1 man. I had a rites of passage at 13, and I had to memorize all the Psalms 1, like all the scriptures. Wow. And now I come down to, I think it's 1 through 4 or 1 through 5, and I repeat it every single day to my son. And it starts out with, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He meditates on the law day and night, and he delights in it. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither. He shall bear fruit in his due season. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. So I say that every single day, me and my son, when we wake up, and I sing to him, I talk to him. And I've learned to change my vernacular when it comes to talking about my dad not being here. I know where he is. I didn't lose him. He just changed addresses. And he's alive in me. He's alive in my son. And the best thing I can do now in my life is to live for both of my fathers in heaven, my God and my biological dad. So I try to really keep a different outlook on that, because sometimes grief, which is real, it can really sneak up on you in a way where you start thinking about, you know, I wish I could have, or I wish he was here. And if obviously, you know, I wish he was here, but we have to live down here, and we have to, again, not to be all cliche, when I get started, man, we have to awaken the nation, literally. And it starts with ourselves. There is way too many people tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming, and saying, okay, I did my part. There's enough people in line standing for change. But people need to put in an application to be the cashier to create and make change everywhere they go. Stop standing in line. Do something. And that's why I just give, you know, honor to you, my friend, for doing something. Enough of the talk, enough of the do something.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with you. And I have to go back a bit, that one of my favorite Bible quotes is, you must honor your mother and your father. And I think you're honoring your dad. I was chuckling earlier because you named your son Donald M. Schuller the third. And I'm thinking, what are you, some kind of royalty now? You have a legacy happening.
That's sir. Wonderful.
God bless. It's true. You know, the reason I started this show is because I was probably on 100 podcasts, either as a guest or a guest host, for about 10 years. And I got tired of the same conversations of people that, you know, I'm an influencer and I'm so successful, blah, 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 blah. And I got on a podcast that a friend of mine was hosting, and these two older gentlemen came on. And I don't know about you, but I'm from the old school. You respect the, you know, your elders. And these people, they were heavy hitters in the speaking world. And I was just like, whoa, why am I here? And I thought we were going to talk about success principles. And the first guy, Ben Gay the third, God bless him, I had him on the show yesterday. Ben actually said, he talked about the death of his son and how traumatic that was. And he still had to get up and go to work. And then Jim Palmer spoke about losing his job and being diagnosed with skin cancer in the same week, and then not being able to find any work for 18 months. He was forced to become an entrepreneur. And I sat there and I went, this is the conversation I want. So I don't like these, you know, I don't like mailing it in. You know, I like to do the deep dive, because people like you, the truth has to come out about what's going on in the world.
Yes.
And I just provided this platform because I thought, hey, we got to get these stories out, because nobody seems to know what's going on right now.
Man.
And gosh, the good Lord above. Ooh. Yeah. Thanks.
You're talking, brother.
Thank you. Hey, did you go to Howard University? Did you go on campus? I was curious what that was like.
Yeah, I went there a few times, not with working with the students, though. I did everything virtual ever since 2020. That changed everything.
Well, I was curious because I was a creative director for 9 years for the United Negro College Fund for their gala fundraiser every year. So nice. I designed everything. Wow. And so I did a lot of deep dives into, you know, doing a lot of historical research, and I had a lot of fun with that. And there was 47 historical Black colleges and universities. I was curious what the experience was on campus for you. And I am going to bet that someday you're going to be called back to all your alma maters to speak, to talk. And I was just curious, you know, you are a beacon all across for this next generation. How does that feel? I know that probably doesn't feel comfortable for you, but at the same time, you truly are someone who's heads and tails striving to be the best. And I look forward to seeing you giving a commencement speech at one of these colleges.
Thank you, Brad. That's super humbling, man. I just try to take it one day at a time. My little brother and I, he's also in the entertainment industry. He was on The Voice season 5, fastest 4-chair turnaround in the history of the show. And, us just being, again, that's our family. It's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to being, in a light and on a stage and not crumbling when we get there, because we have the right footing. We have the right foundation. Our lives are not built on sand or on emotions, but they're built on the word of God. And that's able to get us in, you know, spaces, political spaces, entertainment spaces, educational spaces, and we can stand and not waver. You know, when it comes to the places where, you know, I matriculated through, whether it be Pensbury High School or I went to Bucks County Community College for one
year. Nice. Yeah, I know well.
Which was, listen, I'm an advocate for community college. I didn't know what I was going to do because, you know, I wanted to do the music thing and, you know, I wanted to play football as well, but my coach, he didn't agree, as I talked about before.
Yeah.
So I took that 1 year at community college and trained and got a few different offers from different schools. But Morgan State just hit differently because I had some family members that went, and being a historically Black college and university, just going to a place where I wasn't out of place. And there's people like me who are not like what I see on television, because TV and media, mass media, especially today, it paints the picture as the Black man, as he has to be a deadbeat dad. He has to be a drug dealer, a gangbanger, all these things. And, you know, I don't come from that. I don't see myself as that. I don't see my people like that. So to be able to go to a place where, that Black guy, he must be the athlete. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Let's be real.
You know, a lot of these institutions, they make money off of basketball and football, and most of those athletes are Black. And that's just the truth. That's what it is. So to be able to go to a place where I can see more people who look like me, not that I'm against people who don't look like me, but I've been programmed. Well, I've seen things to the point where it's like, people like you don't exist because all you're supposed to do is sex, money, and drugs.
Right.
So I made that decision to go there, and it really changed my life to the point where I met my wife in class, which was crazy. It's crazy. Like, we were, and I was in my master's class. I did they called it a 2+1 degree or something like that. I'm probably jacking that up. Sorry, Morgan, but I was studying my bachelor's degree and my master's degree at the same time.
Yes, I've heard of this program. It actually gets you through faster and less money. I love it. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, 4+1. That's what it was. So four years for your bachelor's and then one for your master's. So I was able to do that and play ball. And man, I would love to come back and talk to Morgan and just be able to share what I've done. I feel like I was able to get everything out of my college experience. Like, to this day, the president of the university, Dr. David Wilson, I was on his very first president's leadership circle. Wow. So we were able to go down to DC and meet with different politicians and litigators and lobbyists and really see where the funding is going and you know, why certain institutions are getting more money and this institution isn't.
Right.
And just really going back and forth and seeing how laws are made and crafted and, you know, having to wear a suit and a tie. You know, it was just, it's something, man. Like, I'm, you know, 19, 20 years old. I don't really know what's going on, but I know I'm about to get into these rooms. So I need to have business cards. I like, it was the whole thing, man. And, you know, being able to go back to speak at my alma mater would be, it'll be incredible, man. It'll be emotional.
I can see you doing it, man. I really can. You brought up a subject that I'm actually very passionate about, and that is how Hollywood and television create these archetypes and these images that we can't seem to bust out of. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and maybe I'm wrong, I think it was a Staples commercial or whatever, where they had the guy dance into, what was it, the Rubber Band Man. And I was kind of pissed off because it's like, okay, this is the guy you have delivering the mail. That image was saying very loud and clear, this is the, you know, this is the guy delivering our mail. It was, it was a little disrespectful, I felt. Yeah. And I see these images all the time. And maybe, maybe because my ex-wife of 20 years was a Black woman from Haiti. So I see these things. And, you know, I've been, I was a stand-up comedian and an actor as well. After I was an executive, it's a funny combination, but I remember going on casting calls and reading the breakdown of the characters. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like we never stepped out of the 1950s. And right. Sometimes that can be very frustrating. Do you find that to be so sometimes, where people expect you to be a certain way, or they have an image or whatever?
Yes, Brad, again, you know, I'm just going to go out and say it. This has been, I've done a lot of stuff in this game. This has been the best, some people call it an interview. I will call it just brothers talking.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Every single day, I battle with this. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to have an agent and a manager I've had for about 10 years. And I've had previous representation prior to them. And it's come to the point where my last agent said, hey, do you even want to be in this industry? I mean, it's just acting. You know, you don't have to take it that seriously. All you got to do is just got to curse a little bit. You just got to kiss this guy a little bit. You just got to put on this dress just really quickly. What's the big deal? It's just acting. And respectfully, you know, I love all people, but I don't agree with all people. I believe that all lives matter all the time, not just when it's convenient.
Yeah.
So we need to be able to listen to understand instead of listening to respond. And for me, being in this industry for 10 years and, you know, being SAG eligible or being in the union, if you will, I decided not to cross that line just yet, just because of Hollywood crumbling. I'm just going to say what it is. Yeah. As of today, Hollywood is crumbling. And I've done maybe about 25 different commercials over my career so far, working with different brands and collaborations. And I call myself sometimes, my wife will say, man, that's an awesome opportunity, another commercial. I said, baby, it's like my name is Commercial Don, because all I do is commercials, because commercials are the safest thing you can possibly do. Instead of being typecast, oh, well, Donald, you know, you're 6'4", you know, you're a big guy, so we're automatically going to make you the head drug dealer. We're going to make you that head gangbanger. And I'm just like, yo, I have two degrees. I have a certificate. Like, I have a son. I'm married. You know, I love the Lord. Like, why do I have to do these things that are so opposite? Why do we always have to put African-Americans or Black people in general, we have to start in slavery? Why can't we talk about the things that people who look like me have done, who have contributed to society and made America what it is today? Why do we keep degrading the women? Why do we keep doing these things? So over the course of my career, my friend, I feel like I've had to turn down close to $1 million with opportunities in entertainment industry, from Broadway to TV to film, because I refuse to lower my standard to fit your bill, to fit your machine that you want to pump out to people who look like me and people in general, to keep us in that same state. Like you said, it's like we're still in the 1950s with these casting calls.
It's true. I'm looking up. There's a legendary black comedian, and he really went after MC Hammer. He said, you're dancing for chicken, brother. Don't do that.
Goodness.
And I'm looking at some of the legends that I've followed. I like all comedians, and it doesn't matter. But when they're saying something so prolific and so powerful, you have to shut up and go, wait a minute. I never thought about it like that. So like Dick Gregory.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites because I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist as well. And he goes, how come they only sell Schlitz malt liquor in black communities? I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this is like a bomb of knowledge. Boom, like that. Cat Williams, the first time I saw him, the first thing I said, I jumped up from my chair. I go, that guy's a genius. You know,
he's a genius, man. Yeah. I know you saw that last interview with Shannon Sharp.
Yes, yes.
That's all happening right now.
Yep. Paul Mooney was the first one to come out, and he said to MC Hammer, he just shook his head and he goes, a brother dancing for chicken, you know, because he was doing some KFC commercial, and he just chastised him. This image in black Hollywood has got to change and shift, and I know they're trying harder. You can see it now. I was watching a show the other day. A gentleman of color was a scientist and an engineer in the show. I'm like, yes, okay, good role model. But then I'm watching a show where my brethren, the Irish, are drinking and fighting, you know. So there's all these things that happen. But it's all across the board. And I love the fact that you're a beacon in this, and you do stand in your integrity. I love that. Your Christian values. This is very important. And you said it at the beginning. Someone asked me if I believed in God. I burst out laughing. I said, I would have nothing in this world if I did not follow God and listen to, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I don't understand how people can look at, you know, because like you, I believe success comes from the divine. You know, I wouldn't be able to be who I am or do this show or do any of these things if my consciousness hadn't been raised by spending that time in a deep relationship with my creator, you know.
Amen.
I just, you know, even when life is getting me down or up, you have to sit and meditate, sit in prayer, go sit in a holy place. To me, the climbing to the top of a mountain is a holy place, you know, because I mean, Moses did it. It must work.
Must work. Oh, Brad, you just hit so many things right here, brother. Oh my God. Okay. First thing we got to talk about. You're on Rumble as well. So yes. I know certain things people get, you know what I'm saying. Everybody's people don't like conspiracy theorists until the conspiracy is no longer a conspiracy.
Ain't that the truth?
So for me, you know, having my first degree in history and then also lining up what I know about the Bible and, you know, studying, you know, the Hebrew or the different names of God or certain, just combining all these things.
Right.
And I'm reading in certain Bible scriptures, like it's going across the ticker right now on CNN or Fox or whatever you want to listen to. And just understanding that the people who have the resources have not done what they're supposed to do. Everybody talks about, I was in that moment, I was in my car, and I said, God, if you just bless me, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to, and respectfully, you know, you have people who have all these millions of dollars, but continue to, let's just call Tyler Perry for an instance. You know, I love the brother. I wish him the absolute best. But you have your own studio. And it's on the grounds of a Confederate Army base. That's what it was before. Yeah. So you literally had the opportunity to rewrite history of that land. You know, you made a lot of your money, you know, with the plays and whatnot, which were great. You were in a dress the whole time.
Good.
That's no disrespect to anybody who lives that lifestyle. Hey, that's you. That's you. But I live on the Bible. Don't get mad at me. What the Bible says. It's not judgment if I'm telling you what the judge meant. That's what I'm saying. So it's time you can take off the dress now, brother. You can take off the dress. You made it. You did it.
Yeah.
Why are we still promoting things that make the black man look emasculated,
right?
That are the deadbeat dad or the all this type of stuff. And you know, you're saying you're a born again believer. Why are you not creating projects like The Chosen? Why are you not right. creating projects that uplift not just black people, but you know, the relationship that you say you have with the Lord? And yeah. like you said, you know, you have to spend time. That's Psalms 91. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Like when we do that, we're able to really just get over ourselves and do what's right. And, you know, I pray yeah. for Tyler Perry. I pray for these people who have these platforms that have totally dissed what they said they would do and ultimately diss God.
Yeah. Well, Dave Chappelle talked about this. I forget what movie he was working on. And they said, Dave, we want you to put on a dress and, yes. and do this. And he said, why are you always putting black men in a dress? He goes, what is that? That humiliation. They did it to The Rock. They've mm-hmm. done it to Martin Lawrence. They've done it to every single black actor. Yep. And he said, no, rewrite the scene. You know, and I yeah. can't, yeah, yeah, I, yeah. I'm not going to swear.
I got you.
But Dave, I know you. I've met Dave. I used to be a comedian. I run several comedy clubs in New York City. And he said it best. He goes, rewrite the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back 5 minutes later with a new scene, which means they had another scene.
Yeah.
They were trying to push this whole dress wearing thing on yeah. him, and he refused to do it. He saw it. He was open. Do you know Patrice O'Neill? Do you ever see any of his work before he died?
No, I haven't.
He and I met him years ago, and we wound up on the Ricky Lake show together.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what it was. He liked me for some reason, because he would pull up in front of a comedy club and he goes, hey, what's up, man? He, you know, fist bump me and we'd talk. And I was just be a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I miss his comedy, which went down those alleys, which,
yeah.
you know, he was prolific and he basically said it in your face, whether you liked it or not, and made it funny. Of course. Let me ask you, what is your greatest hope for, you know, your acting career, your speaking, everything? What is some of the things you want to do?
Man, my greatest hope. Wow. I want to do it all,
yeah.
you know, and it sounds wild because you have that quote, you're talented at everything, but you're a master of none. That's what people, you know, the yeah. world would say, you know, for me, I feel like I'm extremely gifted in education
yeah.
and songwriting or script writing or harmonies, arrangements, and being in front of the camera or being behind the camera, whether it's teaching or preaching the word on a Sunday or Bible study on a Wednesday. I want to be able to do it all. And, you know, growing up, I was trying to figure out who in the world is somebody I could look up to that did it like I did it. And I think you may know this name, Paul Robeson.
Sounds familiar.
So Paul Robeson, he grew up in Princeton, New Jersey. He was the son of a pastor. And this was not too long after slavery ended. So he was probably like second generation free, I want to say. He wasn't allowed to go to Princeton University because they didn't want black people there. But he ended up going to Dartmouth and Columbia and being one of the first African-Americans in the NFL. While doing that in the off season, he got a law degree. He performed on Broadway and he was a yeah. civil rights activist.
Wow.
And I look at myself and I'm saying all these things. Somebody else did it. They blazed a trail. That can be a positive light for me.
And
I don't know how I'm going to do it all. I always pray. I say, Lord, close the door on this, this, and this if you don't want me to do it. And that's how I'm going to move. And I've been in a time of transition, just trying to figure out being slow to speak, quick to listen, and just taking one day at a time and not being anxious. Because, you know, yeah. I'm sure you can understand, you know, you're doing a lot of things yourself. So
yeah,
this one scripture has been like tattooed in my mind. Me and my brother always go through it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And that gets me every day, because I'm seeing these contracts. I'm seeing these opportunities, and I'm seeing my son and spending time with my wife as we both work from home. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not taking anything out of desperation, because I don't have to. I took the right steps. Yeah. I have my degrees, my certifications. So I'm able to do it all. And if I can't do it all, then I know the Holy Spirit will let me know.
Powerful. Powerful what you said. What's your brother's name?
His name is Matthew Schuler.
That's what I thought. He was on The Voice. Is that correct?
Yep, The Voice season 5.
And what's your wife's name?
Her name is Tiffany.
Tiffany? You married a Tiffany?
I did. I saw pictures Jamaican of you guys. Woman. She's yeah, so fine.
You guys are beautiful together. This is so cute. I'm going to put this out there for you. You can put it in your pipe and smoke it, as we used to say. I think you should start a Black-owned, Christian-based movie and TV studio production company. And I think you could raise money, get funding, and I think you could produce Christian-themed work that would be equivalent to being on, you know, the Hallmark Network, because you have that energy about you that I think would be a very, very powerful storyteller. I think your studio would be a big time storyteller, telling these stories that are different. You know, it's like that movie that was out years ago, Something New. It was about an interracial couple. And I saw the movie and I loved it. And as we're leaving, this other couple got up and they said, "Oh, that was so unbelievable." And I thought to myself, what do you mean that's unbelievable? I've been through exactly everything on that screen. And people need to see better images. As my ex-wife used to say, the problem in America is white people have not been taught how to treat Black people. And I believe that to be very, very true. And the images we see on television and movies, and they're either a complete fantasy as a superhero, mm-hmm. or it's a period piece, you know? Yeah. And so, and everything else is drug dealers, prostitutes, and everything else.
Yeah.
And so it's frustrating if you actually see what's going on. You know, as a marketing guy, I see archetypes. Mm-hmm. I see these themes, and I kind of get frustrated by it. But, you know, it's part and parcel of what they call mind control.
Yes.
And it's right out there all the time. You know, so.
Yeah. Predictive programming.
Ta-da. You said it.
That's ding, what ding, it ding, is, ding. My brother.
That's the word of the day. Yeah,
predictive programming. You know, and before, you know, I really went full force, per se, with the opportunities in the industry, I did substitute teaching for about a year and a half to 2 years in Bucks County. And that was my master's was in arts and teaching. So that's, you know, that's, I just, you know, talking to the kids, I wanted to get to know the pulse of the next generation, the generation underneath me.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, that's when you had these big celebrities, celebrities, air quotes. I mean, just regular people. We're all regular people.
Right.
These different entertainers and rappers. And that's when you had Cardi B. God bless her. I pray that she finds her way to the light. And I had this one little girl, which broke my heart. She says, "Mr. Schuler, this is cool and everything. Like, you're great, but I'm just going to drop out of school and be a stripper like Cardi B, because she's getting money." And I'm like,
oh boy,
I don't think you understand the contractual obligations that Cardi B is entangled to. So much so, I did a deep dive, because, you know, I'm not just, people say, oh, I'm an artist or I'm a musician. No, I actually study this thing, these labels, you know, who these artists are, who they're influenced by, what the marketing is like. And Rolling Stone did an article on Cardi B And she said that her inspiration was Lauryn Hill. And I'm trying to figure out, well, if your inspiration is Lauryn Hill, you're the complete exact opposite. What? Why is that? And yeah. Later in the article, she said, well, you know, talking about positivity and inspiration and God and stuff like that, that doesn't sell. So I'm just trying to do the way so I can get this money. It's crazy.
It does sell. It's just that you're not looking at where it sells, how it sells, and the audience has been shoved aside because the media, our mainstream media, doesn't cover things like this.
Nope.
They're called merchants of chaos, and they make their money off of chaos. So they can't report truthful stuff. Hey, it was sunny out today. We shut the news off because you want to watch something else. You know, they can't say that. They have to say, you know, the sun came up and it was hot. It was abnormally hot. And now weather is actually a study in drama, because now weather is an issue. Right. But you said it all. I want to ask you this. How did you get on QVC, my friend? Because it's sort of like out of nowhere, lightning strikes, and you're now a host on there covering the NFL. Let's talk about that.
Man, so I can keep it real, right? I mean, we're already brothers in this thing. So I'm going to just...
We're brothers, yeah.
Listen, man, again, I've turned down close to, if not $100 million. I mean, almost $100 million, but close to $1 million.
Right.
When it comes to residuals and royalties and all that type of stuff for TV, film, Broadway. Because again, I'm not changing who I am because you want to propel the narrative of what a black man's supposed to be. I'm just not doing it.
Right.
So I don't care. So it's come to the point where my agent, he was like, you know what, QVC, would you want to do that? I mean, it's TV hosting. It's, you know, you're able to meet all different types of people and you can do what you do in terms of hosting. I know that's what you've been doing. You want me to put a word in for you? I said, well, I mean, why not? You know, I love being in front of camera and being able to, you know, talk to my producers and see what's going on. And I gave it an opportunity. They had about 4 or 5 rounds I had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And they paired me with a Fanatic Sports Apparel, which is they're pretty awesome to work with. So during the NFL season, man, you know, I'm in there talking about the NFL and how I wanted to be in there, but not really wanted to be in there, and connecting it with all the different things and pop culture in a way. And we'll see, man. You know, I may maybe looking into a full time position there. You know, we'll see what happens.
Sure.
And, you know, what they want to see. But yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing. I love it. I'm probably about maybe 45 minutes or so away from the studio. And yeah, it's a good time. It's people will call it safe. And it is safe. It's safe because I don't have to worry about, you know, wearing a dress or anything. Like, that's not my thing. It's just like, if you want to do that, then do it.
Yeah.
But I can't, that's just not, it's not for me.
I get it. Well, you and I also have something else in common. We like to hit people.
Hey.
I like that stuff. I'm only 5'8", so I'm going to be like, done, don't hurt me.
Listen, big things come in small packages, right?
Yeah, it's so true. Man, Don Schuller Jr., because we have to get the junior in there now, because you have a third.
Gotta get the junior.
There you go. God bless you, man. Thank you for being on Awakened Nation today. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, brother. Anytime. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I'll have you on in season 8 as well. But I'm not done with you yet. How do we get a hold of you, by the way? Where do we go?
You can go to my website, www.donaldschulerjr.com. You can find my Instagram, social media. Everything is on there. You want to get in contact with me. Real easy to find. I keep it nice and simple.
Yep. So I'm going to ask you in this lightning round 3 questions, and 3 questions only. And so that my audience gets to know you better. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. My first question is, do you have any regrets?
No.
Short and sweet, right? I like that. My second question is, do you have a favorite memory that you like to go and reminisce about?
Favorite memory? Yes. I was just thinking about it earlier, so I guess it's definitely my favorite memory. It's homecoming 2012, Morgan State University versus Savannah State University. This was me, a sophomore, not really playing, working hard in practice. And the score is, I think we're beating Savannah State like a drum. I think we had 77 points. It was looking like a basketball score. It's any of my brothers who may be watching this, y'all remember that 2012 homecoming. And one of my big brothers on the team, he went over to my coach, the defensive coordinator, our defensive line coach, and said, "Coach, put Shula in. Put Shula in." And the coach looked at me, and I was like, I was scared. I was like, "Yo, this is it. I'm about to do this." And he looked at me and he said, "Just this is like Rudy. It's legitimately like Rudy." And he calls me over. He says, "Shula, get in there and don't you let anybody get past you." Here I am, like,
helmet on. Let's
I'm
go.
I'm running like, brother, it was a movie. I'm talking like beautiful day, 10, 15. 15, close to 20,000 people in the stands. My parents in the stands. I'm running in, slapping hands with my other teammate. All right, get out. It's my turn. Okay, I got three. I got doing the whole thing. So we get in there. Quarterback hikes the ball. I'm on adrenaline like I've never been on in my life. And I go over there. The quarterback sees me. And so that kind of, that's like my quarterback hurry, because he ran on the other side. I mean, I did my job. So, you know, he was already down, but then I was so excited, I dove on the ground and dove out of bounds to hit the quarterback. No flag, but. So that is my favorite memory, because it was the, like I talked about earlier, you know, being in high school. Oh, you can't do that. You're not. And I did it. And I got the varsity jacket, my name in it. Like that. I'm getting hyped, bro. Getting really excited.
That's the way it should be, man. Come on. A memory like that. Yeah, that's it. Because it's powerful. It's hilarious, too, because you're just, this is my moment, man.
This is my moment, and I'm not going to mess it up. And I did.
Coming out on the field, Donald Schuller, number 33, or 97.
97, yep.
Number 97 on the field, Donald Schuller. Oh, your dad's a no. Yeah, that's my boy. Your mom, crazy. Too. My third question is there something about you that you love, you're passionate about, that we don't know you're into?
I get this all the time for auditions. They say, "Tell us something about you that we wouldn't know." Yeah. I love to ride horses.
What?
Yes. Yes.
That's cool, man.
I love to ride horses. That's how I actually got my my SAG card or my SAG eligibility card. I was riding horses in this American Revolutionary documentary that was shot outside of Philly. So, yeah, man, that's my dream. You know, once everything happens with the society we're living in, I want to get myself a nice big old house, some land, three horses. My wife said I can only get two.
What is wrong with her?
I'm telling you, man. Tiffany, you got to let me get that third.
So Tiffany, that's, horse, three.
So
one for the kid, a pony.
That's what I wanted. Oh, man, you got, listen, we call him Big Trey for the third. Donald Marshall, the third. He's gigantic. And I'm just like, this is
an American kid. You're feeding him American food.
I'm telling you.
You know how it goes here. We have stuff in our food they won't let in other countries. So our kids, every generation is like a foot taller. You know,
it's wild, man. I got to say though, my wife keeps it organic. She keeps it real.
God bless you, Tiffany.
Jeez.
Hi, Tiffany.
She's something.
That is funny.
Oh my goodness, man!
You guys have a great life. I saw some pictures online, so I did my research. I did it.
I appreciate you, brother.
In closing, I have to say this. I believe God can't come down here. So he sends his messengers. He sends, you know, whatever. And he lives through our experiences, mm-hmm. you know. So at the end of our life, you know, he said, so how'd you do? What do you think you did right? What did you do wrong? And I feel you are somebody who kind of gets that. You're living life full on. Is the best way I can say it. So I have to really, really say God bless you and thank you for being on Awakened Nation today, Don. It's been a blast. Thank you, my brother.
Amen. Can I throw you a curveball real quick?
Absolutely.
Can we just pray it up real quick? I want to pray for
Close
you.
Close your
man.
Eyes.
So I say, Father God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this awesome opportunity of using technology to see men come together and dwell in unity. I thank you so much for my brother, Brad. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his knowledge. I thank you for the skills and the talents that you blessed him with. I thank you for him pouring into me and me pouring into him. I pray that these latter days will be better than his former days. I pray that you provide for him in every single way. Continue to give him favor over the airwaves. Give him favor in everything that he does. And continue to bless him as that Psalms 1 man. He's that tree by the living water. And I pray that you be the water, Holy Spirit, and provide that good fruit for my brother, that I get to sit underneath his tree and enjoy the good fruit of this conversation. So yeah. I pray that you bless him and keep him in all of his ways. And I look forward to many, many, many more conversations from my brother as we continue to be the light that our world needs to see. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being on Awakened Nation, my friend. Thank you, Donald.
Awakened Nation, let's go.
Hey, everybody. Don't forget to tune in next week for another extraordinary episode. And may this episode reach one person, touch one life, touch one heart, and inspire them. Thank you again, Don. We'll see you, everybody. Well, we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being a big part of the Awakened Nation movement. This is how you can help me and our extraordinary guests. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And let's grow this movement by word of mouth. Our success will be because of you. Thank you. And see you next week.